you're pretty.
And now you're super quiet.
Which is kind of nice, okay, you know. It's relaxing.
That? Oh, all right. Cool. Well, I'm an overachiever, so how about I go?
Ethan?
Ethan's on the other side of the studio.
Ethan, Ethan, give me a soda while you're up.
Okay, sorry. Can you make that too?
Yeah, it's behind you. Further. Go through that door. No, the other door.
No,
the other door.
Jiggle the handle.
Well, this is exciting. What are you guys up to?
Oh, just waiting for you to bring us those sodas that we asked for. But
okay, hold on. I'll be right back.
I'm reading some Tommy Wiseau quotes.
I feel like I'm the only one who takes this show semi-seriously.
Okay.
All right. Let's welcome to Talking Fail, the podcast that does not exist on the space-time continuum. I'm your host this week, Tyler. And with me, I have Ethan.
What about off space-time hours? Does it exist then?
I'll have to get back to you. Will?
What's up?
And Archer.
What's up? Not really liking the podcast thing, but all right.
Well, maybe you should contribute more.
Hey, get here early if you want to be here.
I try.
You know, it's by order of who gets in the lobby faster, right?
Sure. We'll just go with that.
I guess so. I'll.
It's called improv. Just back me up, okay? I don't need you to think about this, okay?
You guys remember that one episode where you had the guest and then it didn't go so well? I'm getting vibes of that kind of show. okay, so here's the question.
Vibes of something not going well are not hard to
so So but I'm what's happened in the past week with you guys?
Well, I found out that Tommy Wiseau is 62. That was pretty devastating.
That's not... Actually, you know what? I'd love to hear your guesses on how old Dustin Hoffman is without looking it up.
Doesn't count. He's magic, so you can't really quantify him.
How old is he? Years.
Well, that's what I'm asking you guys.
I was hoping you would give it away so I wouldn't have to guess.
No.
Dustin Hoffman. 70.
All right, 70 from Will.
He's 78.
78 from Ethan. Tyler.
I'll do 81.
Come on, you.
So now I need to find out what it is. I'm just kidding. He's.
You didn't have 80. It already.
Tyler, you went over. Ooh, what is it? Sorry.
Wait.
Does that mean I can finally
Ethan was closest under, so I think that also disqualifies him, right?
Will,
what?
Do you know how the rules work?
Do you know what? Has that ever worked?
What?
I mean,
I'm allowed to try.
It was assertive.
Judge, do I have to leave?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Okay, that's the comment is, I'm allowed to try. When I say go, I want you to say the first crime that comes to your mind. Okay, Archer.
All right.
What's going on?
Will.
Necrophilia.
I don't know, I'm trying. Huh? I forgot.
I'm allowed to try. Necrophilia.
And I think you win the girl with the briefcase.
Wait, right? The girl in the briefcase?
Perfect.
Okay, can you guess her name? You can pick two vowels and a consonant.
Why is this all the game shows?
Did you say continent?
No deal. Okay, this is when I want Ethan to interrupt and help me out, okay? When do I get something?
Hey, guys, play it cool. It's the cops.
Oh, snap.
Shoot, I'm high.
That's actually the theme song of our new segment.
I thought that was just Ethan's girlfriend.
It wasn't a backup noise.
Linda, quiet.
Oh, man. So 7 minutes ago.
You proud of yourself? You proud of yourself?
7 minutes ago. Yeah. A woman was slammed into the ground.
She killed herself? Man. Now you think it's funny?
The shover is back?
The shover is back. Although now he's slamming.
The shover!
Oh, man. This is like
sir,
my
you
worst
were charged
fear
with a hate
for crime. Like when I walk around homeless people and
women's
stuff.
Rights?
Necrophilia?
Sorry, I'm just being inflammatory.
Yeah, I'm real scared of that one. No.
That was actually Frodo's biggest fear.
Oh.
When he was going through Shelob's.
Wait, were there... Wait, that's like reverse... Anyways. assault with a needle. That's like... That's...
She was trying to overdose people?
I don't know. I
or
just
give them medicine.
Yeah, that's Captain... That's Captain... Vaccine...
Arch nemesis of Jenny McCarthy.
I don't want to go. I'm treading lightly. I don't want to.
Don't want to make the anti-vaxxers mad.
I mean, hey,
I don't think they know how to work a computer, Ethan.
That won't
so who else got pushed over in San Francisco?
Well, I don't know who else got pushed over, but I know there was a brush fire.
Brush fire.
And it's
like somebody brushed up against somebody.
What a weird thing to mention. It says, incident reported at some blah, blah, blah. The fire department is on the way. It's a structural fire. The fire is not expected to disrupt train traffic.
On the location of the fire, does it just say, like, 40% of California?
Well, fire is like the opposite of sharks. It can't stay alive and move at the same time. So that's why trains are impossible to catch on fire. So that's why it's safe.
I'm willing to go with that. That sounds decent enough.
Forest fires can't melt trains?
I don't want to buy into your conspiracies, Will, but you're entitled to believe anything you want. Unless it's that vaccines are good for you. Or the
opposite. Technically, autism is good for you if you want to gamble, as I learned. From films.
That's a bad one. What are
we
talking about?
We just brought
movie?
It back to Dustin
which
Hoffman
one is this?
What we did.
The Purple Rain Man?
Too
I don't know anything
too
about
soon.
That movie.
He's dead.
Dustin Hoffman's dead?
So guys, I don't know if you noticed, but our podcast is 30 episodes old.
That's true.
Too old.
It's old
gross.
Enough to... Retire? What do you do at 30?
Oh, shucks, it's older than I am.
I don't know,
it's
Tyler. What
older
do you do
than Natalie Portman.
Well, you start your own podcast?
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it sounds like a midlife crisis type of thing.
Oh, Hans Zimmer did the music for Rain Man. Oh.
No, that kid from YouTube did.
What?
Have any of you seen Blade Runner 2049?
I was going to say yes until you said 2049.
Is that the prequel?
It's the spinoff.
It's a sequel. I'm not going to. You guys haven't seen it. You guys
no,
don't care.
No, we have not seen it.
No, I haven't. It's I good. Very much want to go see it. Anybody go and see it?
I did see it.
I already asked this.
I did not see it.
Did you like it?
Did you like what?
I'm not trying to do this joke.
I know,
joke.
That's what makes it worse. Yeah.
Damn
right.
It. No.
The movie.
I'm scared of redundancies in my language. It's coming.
It was good.
Okay.
No, it was, I don't know. It was very, it had a lot of jump scares, which was cool. But like, you know, start to get predictable. But the cinematography and the acting was all pretty top notch, so
yeah, the cast is pretty young and good at.
Why was young your first?
Because they are question. Actually like you don't see a lot of child
they actually
in
play they play. Wait, they
is Natalie Portman in it?
No, she's 15 in this.
Ah, too old for me.
No.
All right, yeah, the movie was good, though.
I have not seen the movie, but I have read the book, and the fact that I've read the book has made me go, I know how scary this monster can be, so I'll wait till it comes out on, like, home video.
Home video? How old are you, Tyler? Gonna go down to the Blockbuster?
I guess you do retire at 30.
I only watch things on vintage mediums. Well, I'm gonna wait for it to come out on vinyl tapes.
What is the right way of saying it nowadays? Like, it's not on... If I say DVD, that's
stream.
Like two Blu-ray. Generations behind.
Netflix?
Online. I'm going to load it into my fidget spinner and check it out, is what the kids say. I'm the youngest, so I'm the authority. Right? I think is how that works.
Finally, Ethan has found his position on the podcast.
I'm a 1999 historian.
Wait, what year were you born?
97, but you don't learn things right away.
Sure, no, that makes sense.
What kind of turd is a historian about the year they were born? I waited 2 years, then began studying.
What'd you learn here? What happened in 99, Ethan?
For me?
Yeah.
Grew a little, learned a little. What about you?
Oh man, there were just so many things. I can't pick one, you know.
In 1999, a friend was telling me about The Matrix because he had seen it and I had not.
What if you had seen it and you took the red pill or the blue pill? Which one takes you back? And
what if you take both of them?
Oh man, now that's a movie I would see. That's what Matrix 2 should be.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's called Requiem for a Dream. It's the second Matrix.
I'm gonna rewatch the movie just to like make sure that the reference checks out, but
Keanu Reeves would have been an interesting cast in that movie. Requiem for Keanu Dreams.
Was that a joke, Ethan?
I thought you were going
No, I think I just
Ethan.
Had something in my throat.
Requiem for a Reeve?
Okay. No.
Don't.
Why are we trying to? All right.
Requiem for a Weave.
For Sigourney Weaver.
Requiem for a Weaver, Sigourney. How do you make that work? Why do you want to make that work?
You
That's
don't
dumb,
to...
Will.
I'm sorry, guys. I don't know how I got this off track. I apologize.
Good.
Sigourney Wiener, am I right?
You know, I thought that last show devolved.
I'm still waiting for stuff that I can use in the episode.
Yeah. Do we have any interesting stories?
You can't use the Wiener in the show?
No, I don't think I can fit the Wiener into the show. I can push really hard, but I don't think I can wedge it in there. So it's been 30 episodes. And looking at where we are now versus when we started, I mean, how do you guys feel? Like, do you feel like we're improving and evolving?
It's going going downhill very quickly.
I think that question's pretty leading, though. I think.
Okay, well then, just how do you feel about the episode after 30 episodes?
It's a train wreck in a forest fire.
It's a train wreck, clearly.
So we've accomplished more than what we started with.
So our turn, Will. What should we do? Like, is there any hope for us in the future, or should we just stop it now?
Right, and end the recording. This is the last podcast we upload.
Oh, you know what? There was a thing that happened that is interesting.
Did they catch the lady pusher?
Please.
the last. I don't know, Thursday or something. We went to an escape
room. Yeah, we just went to one.
You went to an escape room too?
Huh.
Wait, you went to an escape room?
Yes.
Are we ever going to escape from this topic?
tell us about your escape room.
You should go to... You should, Okay. Wait. Did you guys actually go to an escape room?
Yes.
No. We have.
Oh snap! You haven't done it before.
Well, not that.
Wait. Okay.
That.
I'll tell you. I'm like, okay, I'll start my story, but first I need to know everything about yours.
Arthur.
No.
I've got a really good
story. No.
Story,
you go first. You go first. I'll wait. You go first.
What's up, Ethan?
I was just going to tell the story about how we were scheduled to go to an escape room, all of us, after talking about it.
Some of us had tickets.
Yeah.
Again.
Yes.
We had tickets and plans, and other of us actually went.
Yeah,
the room.
Some of us went, others didn't.
Okay, so a story has a progression, an arc. Who's the antagonist, protagonist in this story, Ethan?
I don't know if I'm the one to say. As I'm the narrator of this story, so completely unconnected whatsoever. But
all right, then narrate.
This is the crappiest Sandlot ever.
All right, so we escaped. Spoiler alert.
What?
And but it wasn't like a 30-minute thing.
Oh,
like,
what a
it
noob!
We had an hour, and we made it like with maybe 5 or 10 minutes. I don't remember.
Right about it.
Yeah, it was an asylum theme.
Wow, that's crazy.
So it was like we got into the theme. We got into this room. Yeah, insane. Clinically, and we walk in. They close the door, and then like to the right of the door. Well, actually, you know what? The walls were white, not padded. The ceiling had a fluorescent like light fixture. what?
Just keep going. Just keep pushing through. This is your escape room, Arthur.
Escape out of this story.
I'm actually listening. They're the ones that are causing shenanigans.
All right.
I'm very intrigued.
Anyways, it was fun. Okay. It was very like, you know, asylum-y. It was like white walls and a light fixture on the ceiling.
Wait, one
did you get kidnapped?
Real quick, Arthur. What did the walls and the ceiling look like?
That's so funny. I don't know, man. I think they were white. Well, there was a window. It was also white.
But it must have been dark in there, man.
Oh man! All right.
Was the window by any chance taped to the wall?
No, it was fastened with nails and glue. It wasn't a real window.
Question: Did you make this room, Archer?
Yeah, there were walls.
Are you in the room right now?
And there's a light.
Can you list me some differences between this room and your closet?
So there's these walls, and they're white.
Also, Arthur got out of his
and my closet doesn't have a light fixture on the ceiling.
He got out of the closet.
What have I done?
That's the joke. Da-da-da-da-da.
How is the the production value? Because I've done a few escape rooms now, mm-hmm. and some of them have been really, really good and like immersive, and like it feels like you're in whatever scenario they're in. And then there was one that we did that was like it was basically a big cubicle where the walls didn't reach the ceiling, and we're in a room, but if I really needed to, I could just climb over the wall.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of kept you from like, I don't know, thinking.
I don't know. The production value just wasn't as good as some of the other ones.
Well, they had a fluorescent light bulb, so I'd say it was pretty top notch.
How good was this escape room?
It also wasn't his closet.
A few, but it was all a part of one fixture that was on the ceiling, which lit up the walls.
I tried to help you, Arthur. I tried.
I can't resist. I'm sorry. What was a clue? Actually,
what was the story? What was the theme?
The light fixture was a clue.
Oh.
Oh man, the production value was pretty good. They had like real furniture, they had real TVs. It was an actual like It was an old office space, but it was like a small office space, so it was just the two doors.
So, like better than
to the to the front room, and then there was a door between the two. So, okay, we walk in, and the door closes, and the first thing I notice is the walls.
God, they're like, no.
They're just so white.
Not again.
The first thing I notice is there's a bed. It's like a military bed, and it's got blankets and a mattress and stuff. Then we noticed this like pipe on the wall. Anyway, I'm not going to spoil the whole escape room, but there were some interesting puzzles. One of them used like the signs of the zodiac with a flashlight and a fan. So when you like when you shine the light at the fan,
mm-hmm.
And it spins, it flash like it starts off when it's stationary as like a bunch of random symbols that look like the zodiac signs, but when it's spinning and the light is flashing on it, they, you know, like the strobing effect makes
it's like
it.
It's like a zoetrope, I think that's what it's called.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that that's what it's called, but that sounds right. It's a cool name.
Okay.
I just
made it up. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, actually, it's a sister invention to the BB-Boo.
Don't Google it.
So that was one of the clues. And in order to get the flashlight, you needed to open this drawer, mostly through brute force. You just pulled it from the wall and like just pulled, and eventually it broke free. Look, it was pretty intense. Did I tell you it was asylum themed? You had to think outside the brain a little. But there was a really cool puzzle in this room. That it was a little confusing, but I'll describe it anyways. There are a bunch of numbers on the wall, and they're some of them are colored, and we knew that we had like a three or four digit combination lock to unlock, and eventually we got a clue that said trust the hollow numbers, and so we're like, okay, like it's these numbers on the wall. Just because of the clue. And eventually we figured out that it wasn't like, you know, the nines and the eights and the sixes, which like could be considered hollow because they have like a solid shape in them. But it was actually like tapping on the wall and the numbers that lined up, or that didn't line up with the studs were the ones that were relevant. And then the colors correlated with the numbers on the lock.
How great would it be to find out that the Zodiac Killer just escaped and has been living out all this years running an escape room?
So the escape room that we did last weekend, mm-hmm. It was Western themed.
Westworld.
So it was like an old, like, you know, cowboy saloon.
Okay.
The first
thing I have to ask you is what color are these walls? Yeah.
I think they were like brown or red.
I'm refusing to answer that. And instead of trying to escape the room,
mm-hmm.
We actually had full access to leave the room. But the goal was that there was a treasure hidden in the room.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like a escape into the room. I thought it was pretty good. Production mm-hmm. was really good. The floors mm-hmm. were, it's that
wood
kind of
floors?
Wooden style where they're,
yeah, oh. It's all like boards,
it's kind of like planks.
And stuff.
They're like planks, and so the boards would creak every time you walked around. So like I kept thinking of like, oh, there's like mm-hmm. a secret hatch. Mm-hmm. Like there's one of these boards I would pull up. Like I kept
that
checking
was exactly
boards
what I was doing too.
None of them came up, but.
Did the sounds of the creaks ever? Like,
no.
Did you find any families hiding under the boards?
No, just your family members.
Nice.
I got lucky where I was checking like every single board, trying to figure out which one would come up, and like none of them did, which was disappointing. But I was like pulling on stuff, and I managed to pop open something that was actually a puzzle. And I was like, "Oh, sweet." That was on accident. and it ended up being kind of important that I stumbled across it.
Yeah, like opened up a whole chamber.
Yeah, we stumbled upon a clue as well. Like there's an X by a light switch, but it was kind of transparent and it was on a really, really busy wallpaper.
Wait a minute, you didn't mention these walls.
Wallpaper on the walls. Yeah, no, they're different. I can't even describe them in one word just because of how extravagant they were. It was the doctor's office.
Did you just get taken to the hospital today?
No, I'm describing the second room. There were two rooms. One of which had white walls and a light fixture on the ceiling, and the other had patterned walls.
It sounds like a Jerry episode.
And a couch.
And an unconscious doctor that you had to steal his clothes so you could escape, right?
It was a hitman escape room.
Who told you that? You've done this one.
All the time.
Guys, I went to an escape room where you get a massage first and then you leave.
All right, I'll come clean. I hired a private investigator.
Gene?
To lock you into different rooms.
Gene! I think that's the longest we've gone without bringing up Arrested Development. So good job, guys.
So, Arthur, have you in your... How many escape rooms would you say you've done?
Well, I would say I've done
too
two.
Too many to count.
The state of California okay. might well, have just, different...
Just... Well, Ukraine doesn't count.
Ukraine doesn't count. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. We did actually. Well, we came here as refugees.
So, okay, it counts. How many rooms does Ukraine qualify as?
Okay, so not counting the Ukraine thing. In the when you're come to solving puzzles, do you ever feel like you solve the puzzle but you didn't actually like go through all the steps to complete it, but you kind of like you bypassed it somehow or anything like that?
I can't remember an example of like what you describe, which is like solving the puzzle but not feeling like.
So I have a story that is my reference. So you know there's that one that I mentioned that was kind of lower quality. Mm-hmm. Like you said, there's a bunch of little puzzles, and then the idea was that you get the combination, all those puzzles gives you the combination for the lock that is the kind of the final mm-hmm. puzzle. And we had gotten two of the four numbers that we needed. And maybe we had three of the four. But there was at least one that we could not figure out where the clue was. Like we were totally stumped as to what we're supposed mm-hmm. to do. And normally there's usually like you can kind of ask for hints and stuff mm-hmm. and from the staff, and they were completely useless for us. And basically it came down to my dad just sitting there in the and playing with the tumblers, because it was a combination lock that where you twist all the dials till they yeah. line up to get the combination. And he basically was just feeling the two outside tumblers until he got it right. And that's how we won that one. Like we bypassed tons of the puzzles just to,
yeah, that's,
and the guy was like, oh wow, we've never actually, no one's ever actually won that way before.
Just like brute force. Yeah. I mean, I do think we had one experience like that where we got a bunch of numbers off of the window shade. And they were, I don't know, it gave us three of the four numbers. And I don't remember how we found the fourth number. But I think we had, I don't know, it was one of the like three numbers that we could cancel out. You know, like out of one of the three extraneous numbers. But anyways.
So back to the cowboy escape room that we did.
Yeah.
There was a lot more red herrings of like big things that seemed like they were going to be puzzles that were not puzzles whatsoever. Like there was yeah. a piano and like mm-hmm. a bunch of fake guns and like a couple doors that weren't actually doors.
I would assume that's like something that there's like a, it's kind of a gray area when it, when it comes to like designing these things.
Please go on.
Right? Like, you want to have some of that because you don't want every piece of information to be like, oh, well, you know, you see the three-piece jigsaw puzzle. Like,
yeah, I'm getting closer.
But you also don't want it to be like, oh, okay, well, I just don't trust anything now. but
let me in.
I don't know. Ours, like, in hindsight, I think one thing that, one pattern that I'm definitely going to apply to, like, future escape rooms is just, like, keeping an inventory of, like, what's spent, or what we think is reasonably, like, yeah, you know, depleted in terms of, like, clueness. Just because then it's easier to, like, share that information to other people.
Yeah, we've done a escape room with kind of pretty much the same group, and we kind of have it worked out now where we all know where if you find a key, you know, if you find something that's obviously a clue, put it out in a central space. And if there's a key and you found the lock, you know, you've unlocked something, keep the key inside that lock and with it open so you can, so it's, you know, it's super easy to tell that, you know, that puzzle's already been solved and communicate with each other and like kind of just pull somebody over and just be like, hey, just tell me what you think about this. I think it's this, you know, I think we have to do this, that plus this and that. And I think that gives us something, but I don't know what that goes to. What do you think?
Yeah. I guess I'm curious how many rooms you've done as well.
But we did the cowboy one just now.
Yeah,
we did that. The one with in
the haunted Jenna house. Mike's
house. That first one. Then there was the one where it was like the haunted library. Is that's four? I think.
Well,
I think I've done three.
Yeah, which one was your favorite? Like
haunted house.
I really like that one that you guys we were planning to do with you guys, and that didn't happen.
It was so amazing. You guys should have been there.
Yeah.
But that one was really cool. The production value was really good. Like, you start out in this tiny room. It was really small. And then you open a door, and it opens up into this huge room. And there's smaller rooms that broke off of that room.
Yeah.
And there was that one was really cool.
So it wasn't just like a two room thing. It was like you're gonna how big was the team? Like,
I think we could have like eight,
something like that.
No, look, there's a survey, I think the New York Times put it out, that like it's an online thing, and you answer like how you pronounce certain words, and based on how you answer these, like, I don't know, 20 questions, 15 questions, they can pinpoint where, like, you learned English. And it's, like, it pinpointed me down to, like, San Jose, which was interesting. But, like, that's pretty damn close.
Learn how to fake my accent off this quiz. Does it also tell you what Disney princess you're most like?
Well, that's BuzzFeed. Have you done any of the BuzzFeed surveys? Some of them.
I get sent. Okay, so I get sent them by my friends, and I've noticed that the people who have sent me those the most, I communicate with significantly less currently.
So Ethan, you're saying that if I want you out of my life, I should send you BuzzFeed.
Yes, I would say the first step would be stop inviting me to your house. After that is maybe start sending
baby steps.
Baby steps.
Stop inviting Ethan to my house.
Okay. Doesn't have to stop inviting but anyways.
Okay, it's real quick. When you guys were walking and Noah was like, bye, Ethan, I in my head went, if Tyler, I'm like, a red flag just went up in Tyler's head because his kid's like, his kid's saying hey to me unprompted. So he's like, oh no, he's leeching.
Okay, Ethan, you should be really proud of me because not today, but yesterday when I saw you, I wouldn't have done it to where anybody else could hear it, but I resisted the urge to make any kind of like kitty jokes.
Oh,
like,
dude, I
do they know? Do they know about your record?
That's how you, like. That's how you get me out of like, your life, like, dude. That's how you do it. Because
so you should be very proud of me. I resisted all those urges every time I saw you.
And good, because that's actually like
kept it all to myself.
There are actual laws against doing what you just in that capacity. I swear, if you do something where I have to go, no, I'm not this guy. Oh,
and just in case this makes it into the episode, Ethan now works at where my kids go to school.
And I found out where they went to school, and now I work there.
See, this is what I'm talking about. You're the
one. You worded it, but I know the truth. That's wow. No, yeah. Shoot.
Yeah, I probably will cut it out. I'll probably cut it out just to be safe. But.
I think it would be fun to go to Tyler's work and say, I didn't know you were allowed to work with kids again. I took that test that you're talking about, Arthur, with the
Turing test?
The Turing test. And yep, I'm a robot.
You too.
Guys, so I just sent off my DNA and I found out that I'm a protocol droid.
Okay, so yep. Ethan,
yeah.
You're in a desert on a road.
Yeah, that's where I live.
And there's a turtle that's upside down. And it cannot flip itself over. What do you do?
Tell it that the Democrats won't always be there to save it. And
tell it that if it wants to keep mooching off America and getting Social Security and free health care, it better flip itself over and start contributing to America.
It better flip itself over and then start voting against all those things that it wants. I don't really know.
Okay, well, I'm pretty sure both of you are replicants.
Replicants meets Democrat. Shoot.
Also, why is that turtle upside down on the road? Like, why? What?
Because it was born on the road, so it stayed on the road.
Time is a factor in this.
I've never seen a tortoise.
Welfare analogy.
I was doing the Void Comp test from Blade Runner.
So, Tyler, without revealing too much about Blade Runner 2049...
Well, they updated it to the John Voight test.
Well, okay. So, Arthur, have you seen the original Blade Runner?
What? I have not. I do not know what Blade Runner is about other than Harrison Ford and I guess
the
some
film.
Other person.
It's like
So it's without giving away plot points and stuff. Basically, it's in the distant future of like 2019, and New York City is in, you know, just slant, you know, packed, like there's skyscrapers and there's flying cars and there's
and
robots,
lots of Asian people.
Yeah, sure. But humans have created robots that can look exactly like humans to the point where like they're practically biological. And but they're not allowed on Earth because they're dangerous. In the original Blade Runner, a group of them have escaped to Earth for some reason that you find out during the movie. But Harrison Ford is a Blade Runner who is a cop whose job it is to hunt these replicants down. There's a lot of things, you know, and it's the style of especially the original one is very like film noir, but in the future. So it's kind of like an old black and white Humphrey Bogart movie, but with lasers and flying cars.
Yeah, it's a crime drama more than a sci-fi.
So like, there's a lot of action scenes. It's like
the original Blade Runner has a lot of just waiting for things to happen, or like it's a it's kind of like a detective story where he's going to crime scenes and looking at clues and. A lot of it, you kind of have to you have to really pay attention and follow along with him. Like it's not like he finds like one thing and then that just leads him on a very obvious path to the end of the movie. He has to actually do a lot of like real detective work and we follow him during a lot of that. And so you do have to pay attention to it. It's easy to kind of start to zone out and just like get on your phone or something and not pay attention to it, and then miss like, oh wait, why is he?
Right,
why is
like
he here in this building
somewhere, or like a motif?
Yeah, you'll see him like working on trying to figure out what's in this picture. And he doesn't, it's not like he turns to the camera or he turns to some other character and says, oh, well, I need to go, that looks like a human hair. I need to go and check that out. Or that looks like a sign, or, you know, I'm
so
making
they,
up
they
what
the clues
are.
They show, don't tell, but, even with the clues.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, basically, you know, you see him looking at the clues, and then he goes, oh, you know, and he realizes what the next step is, but he doesn't, like, say, okay, well, he doesn't like call somebody and say, hey, I need to go to the bank because that's where the clue took me to. He just goes to the place.
Yeah, a lot of movies these days will do that, or maybe it's just the ones I'm watching, but they seem to, like, I don't know, they'll reveal the thing and then like the next scene is them explaining the reveal, and it's like,
yeah,
this is the spoon
really
feeding part.
Yeah, so there's really not a lot of spoon-feeding that happens. And so that's kind of that's the first one. And there's a lot of, like, themes of what it means to be human versus an artificial human, like a constructed person kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's a lot of what the first movie's about. And the new one, 2049, does a lot of those things. But they do definitely update some things where it is a little bit more action-packed. There's a little bit more hand-holding in terms of, like, you know, talking to somebody and saying, oh, you know, I need to go to this place because that's where the clue led me. There's a little bit of that, but it's definitely, you know, it's an almost 3-hour movie, the new one. So they do take their time in doing detective work, and they definitely, in both movies, they show off how pretty the landscapes and you know, the,
so it's got like a cinematography angle to it too.
Yeah, it's they're both very pretty movies. They give you the atmosphere. It really shows you what this imagined future of New York and Los Angeles are like.
That's cool. I want to go see it.
Yeah. Definitely see the first one first.
Okay. Yeah, that was going to be my question.
Is it justified in its length? Or is that 3 hours? Like, it needs to get... It could be cut down.
I know. I think so. I really enjoy getting... like, so, in general, for me, it's a really good TV show, like Game of Thrones or Westworld, something along those lines, whether it's a very well done show, and like if you tried to take a season of Game of Thrones and do, instead of doing like what they're doing, 7 seasons of Game of Thrones, instead of giving me a season that's 10 hours long and doing that 7 times, and if you compressed it down and gave me 7 movies, they wouldn't be as good. You wouldn't be able to really immerse yourself in the world and really explore all the different backstories and what all the different pieces are as they're moving around the board. Having the movie be nice and long really lets you get into the movie and, you know, let you immerse yourself in the world and spend as much time in the world as you can and enjoy it. I kind of compared it to, I don't know if you guys have seen the Dark Tower movie, which was like, I want to say it was like 95 minutes long, where it's like super short compared to a movie. And it felt super short. It felt super abbreviated. It felt like tons of stuff. It felt like there was a bigger movie there and things got cut out. And here's just what was left that we absolutely couldn't cut out, kind of a thing. And a lot of things didn't really make sense or were just thrown in and weird. And so I compared it to that, where it was that Dark Tower was way too short. I really enjoyed Blade Runner much more because you really get to spend time in that. So yeah, I recommend it. If you're, you know, if you can sit through and pay attention to long movies where not everything is being, you know, handed to you on a silver platter.
Both of them are really spoon fed.
If you liked the original Blade Runner, I think that you'll like the sequel.
Okay, so it is a sequel. It's not a retelling or anything like that. It's like Tron.
It's no. Yeah, it's a sequel. Like Harrison Ford, Rick Deckard shows up again in the sequel.
How much of this plot line relies on the last?
I would, like, I don't want to give away things, but I would say it's similar to, like, if you didn't see any previous Star Wars movies and you went and saw Episode 7 and they're talking about, oh yeah, you know, Luke Skywalker was this great master, you know, this great person.
Great person.
We need to find Luke Skywalker because he's a big plot point. I'm trying to be vague about things. But no, I mean, like, where they reference the yeah. previous movies, but it's really not about the previous movies, but there's a lot of, like, that, you know, where the people are saying, well, that guy is important because he was in the last movie 30 years ago. So I would compare it to that.
Well, I'm gonna go see it soon.
I thought you already saw it.
Oh, I guess both movies are in Los Angeles. For some reason, I thought the original Blade Runner was in New York and the new one was L.A., but
what if that's LA. How they sequence them?
Unfortunately.
Blade Runner, Brooklyn.
There's, yeah, all the crappy spinoffs, like Blade Runner,
it's like Cops,
Miami.
Straight, it's just TV.
I was thinking like CSI spinoffs, where there's like a million of them.
Law and Deckard.
All right. Well, I think it's time to wrap up the show. Thank you for listening. If you've made it this far in, join us next.
Congratulations.
Proud of you.
We'll probably just cancel the show after this one, end at 30.
Is that your suicide plan?
If we do make it to an episode 31, then, you know, be thankful, I guess. Thank you to everyone who sent us listener questions this week. You can support us directly on patreon.com/talkingfail. Our Twitter is @talkingfail, and you can download our shows at www.talking.fail on iTunes, Google Play, and many other podcatching apps.
Hey, Tyler. There's a bit down here.
No, there's not.
There's good podcast segues down here.
Wait.
You want to end the show, don't you? Don't you, Billy?
I don't believe you guys. I don't think you... Why are there bits down in that drain?
Splash. Ned? Ned Ryerson?
That was... That was perfect.